Hello, and welcome back to Attention Recession Podcast. I'm here, as always, with Nicola.
Hello.
Yeah.
I sound so dorky whenever I listen back.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, we're kind of recording on a random day. We were supposed to have a guest, which we will reschedule, that we're very excited about. So now we're just going to kind of chit-chat about, like, what's been going on, I guess, in our field, like what we've been thinking about recently. But yeah. First, I haven't talked to you in a minute. How are you?
I'm okay. Yesterday was amazing because it was like a fake, it was like spring for one day. And
wow,
I literally went on the roof to take my dog out and I came downstairs and I was like, Brandon, get out of bed. Like, you're burning daylight. I was like, I was being such a bitch about getting him up and out the house, which, like, that is already, like, a thing between us. Like, I'm more like, go, 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 you know? But as soon as he went outside, he was like, oh, like, like, feeling it. And it was just, like, the city was alive. Like, we tried to get on the ferry, and the ferries, just to, like, take a joyride, like, around the city on the ferry. And the ferries were packed. You couldn't even get on.
Wow. Okay. So I guess for reference, what has the weather like been recently and what was this day like temperature wise?
It's just been like really, it's not been like super cold. It's just been really gray. There's been like very little sunlight. There's been a good amount of rain. Yeah. And it's just like New York in the spring is very rainy and inconsistent, like a lot of highs and lows, very manic and depressive. Season.
Yeah, manic depressive episode.
Yeah, so yesterday felt amazing. I was literally bouncing off the walls when I woke up. And then today was beautiful in the morning. And just in the course of, like, the day passing, I could feel my mood, like, sinking with it. And I'm like, oh,
wow.
God, get me back.
I saw TikToks about the weather. That's when I know New York is like going through something. If I see people being like, we're outside, I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Like when it rains in LA and everyone knows.
Yeah. How does that feel for you? Like, you've lived in LA for so many years and, like, you know, we have kind of the opposite. It's like we have a small stint of, like, cold weather and rainy weather. And, like, we still feel the same way. If we get a sunny day after, you know, cold weather or rain, we go out, go to the beach, whatever. But that's a big adjustment. I think that would, like, send me. I don't know.
Yeah, I can definitely remember. This winter has been really interesting because seasonal depression is, like, something that kind of worried me about moving back to New York. And it's, like, a major reason that I went to LA. And I was, like, nervous, like, what it was going to be like, because the last time I was back for a winter here, it was also COVID, but it was quite bad. And so I was kind of, like, gearing up for it. And I keep remembering, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember why LA was attractive to me. Because sometimes I'm like, why did I do all that? I wasted all that time. What did I, like, what a weird series of choices I made in my life. Like, I can be really hard on myself in that way. And, yeah, I just, I can remember why LA appealed to me. I'm like, oh yeah, this is like, I have to be very like conscious and aware of and like tending to this like seasonal malaise.
Did you find that you had less seasonal depression in LA? Because I also find that a lot of people in LA also experience seasonal depression with, you know, getting dark earlier or even just like the season of winter. Everyone like feels bad anyway. So I think people have like a big fear of New York for that same reason. But I'm curious if there was like actually a drastic difference for you or.
I remember my first November in LA, like not just as a visitor, but like living there, like driving and like all of a sudden my mood like sunk and I was like, whoa, like what's going on? Like, why do I all of a sudden, I'm like, I just feel so like. Whoa, like so down. And I'm like, what the? And I realized it's because I like, it hadn't occurred to me that the sun would set at like 4 p.m. in LA. I was like, the sun's going to set till 7 all year. Like, I never thought about it.
Right.
And I was like, oh, it's because it's basically the middle of the day and the sun's going down. And I turned onto another street that was darker and it like freaked me out because all of a sudden it was like dark in the middle of the day.
Wow.
It was like, I was like, that's what really drove home to me too, that it's really not an issue of temperature. It's an issue of light.
That's so true. And like, yeah, that is, I think, the misconception too. It's like the weather temperature sometimes can feel like summer year round or spring summer year round. But yeah, like we don't have actually no seasons in that way. I don't know. It's really interesting. I don't know. I feel like, but even in LA, I would get that Lana Del Rey summertime sadness. Like,
yeah.
I'd be like, seasonal depression's so real that I'm like, okay, why am I sad during the summer? Like, maybe this is just not seasonal, you know?
Well, I think in LA, like, because time passes differently there because you don't have seasons. So, like,
oh, interesting.
I feel like things can feel like, you don't realize that time's passing because every day, like, you don't have like weather and like changes of outfits and like different coats. Like, oh, all of a sudden I don't need this coat. Like, that is telling me, like,
wow.
I am in a new, like, it has been regenerated. Like, there is newness. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I think in LA, you can get that summertime sadness because it's like oppressively
purgatory.
Nice out. You're I can't, sometimes. That sun in LA would be like obliterating to me, like not the heat, but just like its presence. And I'd be like, get off of me. Get away. I want to be like, there were times where I was like, I'm really committed to having a bad day. And I was like, I'm going to close the fucking blinds. I'm having this bad day.
Yeah.
You can't gaslight me.
That's exactly how I feel sometimes. Like, if I'm in a mood, I'm so happy that the weather is shitty outside because I'm like, I feel guilty if I'm not outside. And I feel like that can be a common feeling. Like, there is this guilt of like, oh, I have to do something outside. I have to be productive. I have to be like happy and up and at 'em and go to the gym and whatever. And like, sometimes you just do not feel like that at all, you know?
I really miss though, like in LA, just being able to go outside and just get that like, that feeling of like, I mean, basically noon any time of year, unless it's raining, you're going to get that feeling of like just a warm heat on your skin, you know?
Yeah.
And it makes me feel like a little animal. Like, I feel like this is like, I feel like my skin is almost like plumping or like growing with the light. Like, I feel like, in New York, like there's just the UV like not doesn't get there. You know what I mean? So it's just like,
wow.
You're just getting dimmer, like less sun. So
yeah, that's
I miss
that's how
just like going outside and like even if I'm having a bad day, I can like if I don't want to indulge in it, which I don't do that often, I can like refill myself with like light and a good walk or whatever.
Yeah, like I struggle in New York in the summer for sure. Like I feel like I'll visit when it's like so hot and I just like hate the heat. Like the heat in New York feels so different because I think of like the pollution and everything that like when you are outside, it's just like, I can't do it. I don't know.
Yeah. It's very like in the summer, it's like for me, I feel like New York is like a very like, you get very like stinky here. Like you're sweaty and like you're kind
sweating.
Of like stinky and like ruining your, like I don't buy silk blouses anymore. Like, no. I will never wear a silk blouse in New York City. Like, it doesn't – I'm Italian. It doesn't work like that for me. But in LA, I would just have, like sweat that was just, like, clear, like water. Like,
yeah.
It was different.
You're sweating green juice. It's what's happening.
I think it's, like
– and collagen
powders. I think it's, like, humidity versus dry or something. I mean, yeah, maybe it was, like, my years-long semi-vegan diet. Like, but I think it's really just, like, the dry heat.
You're sweating the $32 bottle of Erewhon water.
So many. There was so many juice cleanses for so many years. I loved the moon juice cleanse.
I tried a juice cleanse. I'm not kidding. For like a day or two, I could not. I was not. Because I had, when I was like 24, 25, I like, was super into Instagram and posting and hashtag modeling, whatever. And so I got asked to like model on the swimwear shoot And so naturally, like any girl, I'm like, this is the time to do my very first juice cleanse. Mm-hmm. I can't even tell you. I was 7 hours into it. And I was like, I'm starving. I have a headache. I feel like shit. And I'm going to feel like shit for the rest of the week now. Like, it just like, I don't understand how people can so casually just kind of jump into that. I just miserable.
Well, you are supposed to like transition. Like, you're supposed to have a couple days where you're eating like, you know, more like fruits and salads and stuff, like lighter, easier stuff. And not go from like full regular eating to like zero.
Like, yeah, no, I was just like, I'm gonna die.
But yeah.
And I'm like, did I even look any skinnier? Probably not. Like,
no. The first one I ever did was the best experience I ever had, but I think it was also the most dedicated. Like, I don't think I cheated until like the very last night. I had like a drink. I think I went out, I had ramen. So I was like, this is broth.
Yeah, and exactly.
I had a drink. But I remember, I have this little like swollen lymph node in my jaw.
Dude, I get those all the time. Yes.
That I've just always had, and it gets bigger and smaller if I'm sick or whatever. And with this juice cleanse was the only time in my life it was completely gone. And whoa. I was like, that's crazy. I also wasn't drinking caffeine, and that's the only time I ever did it without caffeine. So many variables, but I was like, damn.
Wow. Okay, I have to get some water. Why don't you kick us off into some things that have been on your mind recently that we just recapped on, aka reality TV things.
No, but I want to tell you about them so we can discuss.
I'm
them
listening.
Together.
So my oh, my, you're head, listening. My headphones are connected. I'm just gonna go refill my water. So
okay.
I'm
okay.
Coughing.
Okay. 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 I was telling Jazz earlier before we started. At Paris Fashion Week, the Row had like a no phone policy at their fashion show. So they did hold like a fashion runway show, seated everything. And I believe the invitation said like ahead of time, like whatever the policy was, like no digital recording. And then I'm not sure how they enforced it there. Like if they did like stickers on the, or what they did, but everyone was given like a notebook and a pencil, which is like, come on, that's the greatest swag ever. You have the Row notebook from the like no photo show. And
can you educate me really fast? I don't recall what the Row is.
that's Mary Kate and Ashley's like super high end brand. Yeah.
Oh, I love them.
Quote, invented quiet luxury, even though as we've discussed, it's not something to be invented because it's not an aesthetic, because like you either have a certain social standing or you don't, but whatever.
That's hilarious.
So people had mixed reactions. Some people were like gatekeeping exclusivity, and then other people were like, the whole point of their brand is that it's gatekeeping and exclusivity. And other people were like, I were like, this is cool to me. I enjoyed waiting. I liked it. Felt like I think some people really felt like it was a moment when the photos were like on Vogue runway. I guess they decided to shoot the show in film. So
I love that.
The show images are photographs that they had developed, which you know, if they wanted to get it turned around in 12 hours, they could have, but I guess they decided to take a couple days. But I guess it's a larger, at least the way I read it, I think it's very The Row. I didn't think it was like that weird or controversial at all, because I read it as like, good things take time. Fucking sit down, pay attention.
Literally.
Calm down, like, watch it like a movie.
God forbid you also like actually talk to people at the show and like network it, like the way that people used to, you know, like I think that's what we forget. It's like phones, especially cell phones, have not been around forever. Like being like locked into your screen when you're like at a public event. Like I feel like especially people use phones as a coping mechanism to for like feeling socially awkward. Like, okay, I don't know anyone here. I don't want to talk to anyone. Let me just like text, get on my phone, like pretend like I'm important and just take a photo and then leave. Like you're not actually like talking to anyone or like paying your respects to the designer. You're just like, you know what I mean? If I was a designer, I'd be like, get rid of that shit. Like pay attention, talk to your neighbors, like immerse yourself in this experience, you know?
Yeah. I like it. I thought it was cool. I mean, like, to the one or two people who are like, I think the largely people were kind of like, yeah, no, I don't think we feel like we deserve instant access. We're owed something like from the row. But of course, like, I was just reading some like comments, just seeing kind of what, you know, the people.
I can imagine the comment. I bet the comment was like, if I made it to like a show like this and they didn't let me take pictures, I would be pissed.
Like, it was like blah blah democratizing fashion, blah blah. And it's just like
whatever. No. Like, so, I don't know. I think there should be more phone less times. I just heard something super funny from this other podcast I listened to, where she has a daughter who's like a young teen. So they would like take their phones away at school and like make sure to like, so that the kids aren't texting. These kids, this is so funny and hilarious to me. These kids found on Amazon you could buy a fake phone for like $10 and they would turn in the fake phone.
Oh my God.
Isn't that not only one hilarious to me that they like teenagers who have a mission to socialize will do fucking anything. Like, you cannot stop them. And two, like, that just is so funny. I just love that.
I remember a long time ago, I think a girl I know wrote an article, or there was an article about how teens were like, if you remember, you were like in the computer lab part of class or whatever, like
you're
in the like computer part, like, because you can't like talk or socialize or whatever. So kids were opening up like Google Docs and just like using comments to chat with each other.
That's so funny.
So kids are inventive.
I actually used computer lab time to flirt with my crush, actually.
Nice.
I have like a deep memory of this in the seventh grade. I was sitting next to my crush and he was like a skater boy. He was like into like heavy metal. Of course, this was my crush. Because I was like, he's a skater boy. I'm a ballerina. Was not. But, you know, in my head, we were opposites. And I knew what his favorite band was, of course, because it was seventh grade girl with a crush. I pulled up like his favorite artist, like on my music, because we could like listen to music on like, wasn't even like Spotify. I don't even know what they had then for us to listen to music. iTunes, who knows? And then I like had that just kind of loosely in the background. And then I had this screen for whatever we were working on. I was like, hey, like, can you help me with this? Like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And then he saw that in the background and was like, wait, you listen to like, I can't even.
Whatever oh my the God. Band was.
Whatever the band was, something dark and evil. He was like, wait, you listen to them? I was like, wait, yeah, do you? Seventh grade, like
setting traps, yeah,
starting young, just really on my bullshit. That was the time to be alive. Computer lab, like, that was the time for mischief.
I think it was elementary school. For some reason, at our elementary school, we had the colorful Macs, the ones that were like,
ooh,
all the candy color, you know, they're like clear.
Yes.
Do you remember this? The clear ones that were like the colorful. I don't know why, for some reason we had that, which doesn't make sense because like it's like just middle of Wisconsin. Trendy. Like, we didn't have anything nice, you know what I mean? Like, everything was just like as regular as possible. And then for some reason, there must have been some kind of like grant for, I don't know, like Apple was trying to get into schools or that. Yeah, you know what? They probably were trying to get into schools and impress me to talk about
indoctrinate us all for our life.
And here we are, all using our iPhones, so
it worked. It worked. Hashtag long-term marketing plans. They work.
Yeah. Do you want to talk at all about your sort of semi-being offline?
Oh, yeah. For those who don't know, I have, like, vertigo that, like, comes and goes. And this last year, it specifically has been affecting, like, screens. And this, like, last week, specifically, like, phone screens. So I could still, like, watch TV, but, like, I couldn't text, couldn't TikTok, whatever. It was so funny going.
What happens when you look at the phone screen?
Basically, the best way to describe it, do you ever get car sick when you're, like, reading in the car?
No.
Okay. Have you ever gotten motion sickness in any way?
Not really, besides, like, literally throwing up after a ride.
Yeah. Okay. Well, for anyone that does get motion sickness, or like if you ever start to feel sick, if you're like reading in the car or like on the train or something like that, and like it just starts to like mess you up and you feel like, I feel like sick to my stomach, I feel dizzy, I feel like super tired. So yeah, it just makes me, basically makes me feel like shit. So yeah, I couldn't really use my phone that much this last week. And it's so funny because the last time this happened was earlier this year, but it lasted so much longer. It was like weeks, and I couldn't really use my phone, computer, or TV. And I live alone, and I literally was like, what? I've never experienced a day being so long. Like, you think the day flies by fast. I literally was like, okay, I've cleaned my whole apartment. I've listened to a podcast. I listened to my audiobook. I cooked a whole meal. And I ate it.
What else can I do?
And now it's 7 p.m. and I have like 3 hours until I go to bed. And like, I couldn't really read either. Like, reading was a bit nauseating also, because it's like you're staring at something. And so it was just like, I can't even tell you, like, the ego death, like, that happened during that time. I was like, okay, I guess let's process every complicated emotion that I've ever had. And it's just like really so fucking interesting. So that happened again this week in like a much more light way. And like, now I can like use my phone and computer decently. I like can't really wave it around too much while I'm using it without getting nauseous, but it always is so interesting. I'm like, what did people do? And I think what was interesting too is that it deeply promoted socialization. Like, I was like, okay, yeah, well, I should really go hang out with friends, because if I'm present with someone, that's like stimulation, and like I can still drive, which is good. So like, I went thrift shopping and I found some cute outfits. It's just like, I don't know. It's so crazy how like addicted we are to these devices, like myself included. Like, if I have access to TikTok, I will be on it for hours and hours a day. And yeah, it's so bad.
I actually this morning had kind of a gross, like, kind of like what you said, when if you look at social media too early in the morning, you like, I had like a rut this morning, yes, where I was just like physically paralyzed, and like mechanically, like my finger just kept reopening like the same, yep, apps, and I was just like, oh, I haven't been stuck in this hole in so long. Like, it's been a while since I felt like I needed to delete the app for the day. And I was like, whoa, this is like kind of crazy. Like, but it is, yeah, just like, oh, clearly I'm lonely. Like, I just want to be around someone. Like, I don't use my phone, yeah, when I'm around people.
Yeah. And I think it's like, I've been thinking about this a lot this week too. Like, the amount of technology has allowed us to be so isolated. Like, I live alone and I enjoy it because I do like my alone time. And I went from like living with so many people through college and post-college, I was like, I need a break. But I was thinking about it, I was like, damn, if like we didn't have phones, I would absolutely try to live with someone else. Like a roommate, yeah, a boyfriend, like be near friends and stuff, because what, like, it's so isolating, you know? And so it's hard to think about, like, I don't know, technology is making it so much easier for us to isolate ourselves. And I was also thinking about reality TV. I think the reason why we love reality TV so much, and why it's like there's so many people watching like 10 reality shows at once, it's like that is truly the closest thing to socializing we get. You're, yeah, in these group dynamics watching them, and then there's like the cutaway of someone being like, this is how I feel about it, like unpacking it, whatever. And then you can go online and talk to other people about what happened. Like, it's mimicking real life for like the person that's viewing it, you know? And so,
yeah, I totally
like
agree.
Reality TV, especially when I can't. It's like, yeah.
I've been watching, I've been like kind of just like, I, well, just because the Housewives, they're so endless, I kind of just always have it like on, and then I'm sort of like tuning in and out of it. But even when I'm working, I'm kind of like, I'm typing at the computer, and then I'm kind of like at a breaking point, and I press play, and I like sort of like watch it for a little bit, and then I like go back to working, And then I like, and when I'm doing like sort of menial tasks, like I kind of treat it like a podcast almost, like, but I've been like, this is, I'm like, it occurred to me recently. I was like, oh my God, this is weird, because basically I'm just, I'm mimicking being in an office, like being around
literally
people.
I'm literally
like, these women are just like chatter. Coworkers. I'm like, this is quite sick.
Lisa Rena is on marketing team.
Yeah. But I actually did go into the office last week, and I have such mixed feelings about the office.
I can definitely relate to that. What is your feelings that came up?
I just feel like I don't know. It's just like, I feel very much on this path of like, ooh, sorry. I feel very like, I'm like, is this stupid for me to talk too openly about this? On one hand, the stability, like I'm a contractor right now, so I'm not like a full-time
employee. Me too.
So the office thing is not like required, but I can go in, and it's nice because I work 40 hours a week with these people.
Yeah.
Especially for like certain occasions and stuff. But when I go through the process of doing like the morning commute, Brooklyn to Manhattan, like walking through crowds of people to get to the office, going through like the big glassy huge tower, and like all like the kitchen with all the stuff in it, and I'm just kind of like, is this my life? Like, is this the life I want? You know? Because I feel like it's like I could see myself easily stepping back into it, and this being like a normal, good way to live, you know? But I'm just sort of like, I don't know how much of, or if any of this is like what I don't know. It makes me feel weird.
I think a huge part of that also is like the optional level of it. Like, I also work freelance, and I have like a co-working space now that kind of like mimics like going to the office in a way, where everyone is just kind of on their laptops doing their thing. There's like free coffee and water, and like there's also like the gym and spa there, which is amazing. But yeah, I think what the hardest thing about office for me was knowing you had to be there every fucking day, 9 to 5. You have to get dressed every day. It doesn't matter if you're going through a breakup. Doesn't matter if you feel sick or if you're burnt out or depressed. Like, your ass is getting to the office. And I think that was really hard for me. Like, I remember my first day, after my very first day of 9 to 5, I like came home and I was like, wow, I have to do that every single day forever. I was just like, it hit me. I was like, that's just a lot. I felt like I burnt myself out on like socializing a little bit.
Yes, yes.
And that's like half of your day is like talking to people, being, how are you? How was your weekend? Hee hee hee, making jokes. And like, depending on your personality, like I felt a lot of pressure to be like fun and quirky and whatever, because I don't know, I thought that would make it so that they would want to keep me around if I was like such a big part of the office, if that makes sense. And so I would go home every day so burnt out. So now I'm like, but I do think if there was like a middle ground, like I know some works do like half and half, like some days you work from home, some days you go in, like I think that's cool. Or like even our thing, it's like we can opt in whenever we feel like it. I feel like that's healthiest, at least in my life.
At this company, the full-time employees, it's like 3 days a week. And I think it's like, I don't think it's strictly enforced, but I think it's like most people kind of are in there like twice a week sort of. So it's not that bad, but it's just, it felt really weird because I felt like I was walking in like steps of a former self, you know? And it's like, it's like, oh, do I want to opt back into like 2015 me?
Wow.
Or
it is not. Nice in so many ways. Like it, like, it does make you feel like you have purpose and that you're like a person in the world. When you're home, especially with how much digital stuff we have, I feel like we don't so much just feel like a person in the world. We feel like an entity in this like digital world. Like we're just like a part of these TV shows. We're a part of the social media. We're kind of a part of Slack, like whatever it is, but we're not like a person, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like the accountability of like having to go to an office and stuff or having things to show up for is good because it forces you like into motion. And like once you're in motion, you'll stay in motion and like things get going. And I think sometimes that can be hard as like having the luxury of the time alone, but then feeling like in a way that you're not like using it best. And then it's kind of getting like, just feeling like off and being like, I don't know how to solve this. I don't know what I want to do. So I'm just going to stay sitting here and I'll just finish the day.
Do you think you would feel satisfied by just going in hybrid like a couple days a week?
Maybe. I can see myself complaining about it a lot. I can see myself complaining about anything though.
Constant misery is the state of being.
I'll never be done, but.
Yeah, that's so real. You're so real for that.
Anyway, the only kind of real topic we have today is about the reality reckoning, which I guess I'll kind of be explaining to Jazz / catching her up on.
Yes.
And we can discuss. But basically, this is a term that Bethany Frankel, who is this is really becoming quite a housewives / pop culture entertainment podcast in a way that I didn't know it was going to be, but it's pretty fun.
I need it because I have never gotten into Real Housewives. It's almost like it's a boundary that I set with myself. I'm like, Jasmine, you already watch a couple reality TV shows. If you even dip a toe into this world, that's how I feel about that and like Vanderpump. I'm like, I am not doing this because I won't have
you'll go too deep
if I really get into this. So that's why I appreciate you keeping me in the loop because I still like to know what's going on. So
yeah, let me preface all of this by saying like what is interesting about this is that it is a labor and workplace conversation around reality performers. And that is sort of the like more interesting and
I love that
larger picture thing. It's not we're not just going to be talking about the recent lawsuits and stuff like that. Like this is ultimately what's interesting about this is that it's a labor issue. So Bethany Frankel, Real Housewife of New York, original person, original, like not an original castmate, but went back early on, blah, blah, blah. She brought up the conversation this summer while the SAG strikes were going on. And she was like, I think we're due for a reality reckoning, like basically saying like, we need a union for, they keep calling them reality performers, which I love that phrase, reality performers. Basically, partially because, you know, the contract, and she was sort of saying, like, this isn't really about me. Like, I'm doing fine at this point, but there are a lot of people who get screwed along the way. And one of her examples I remember her going on about was, like, you know, she signed a contract back before there was Twitter, you know? And now she didn't, there was no streaming platforms to be imagined or GIFs or whatever. Like all of her likeness and image that she sold at that point in time is now like streaming on platforms in countries like that. She and women, so like not just her, like women like her are getting no, they signed their flat rate check and it's done. And it's, so it's kind of like a conversation about residuals. Because if that show is going to go on and be a success, and now that we see so many shows, this is a whole new thing where there's this like second, third life that shows get when they're like trending, such as like Gilmore Girls, Rewatch. Like,
yeah.
So the reality performers, another big part of like what she was talking about is like children on screen, because obviously the contract is with the mother. I think that in New Jersey, the husbands get paid as well, but that's the only place. Otherwise, all the husbands are working for free. The kids are working for free. But her argument is this is a workplace. You're asked to show up at a certain time to work. You know, you're filming and you're having like these conversations on air. Like, are you even allowed
to, like, exploiting your life
to that? You know. Mm-hmm. So I think it seems like she kind of fizzled out. So
she's leading this movement.
She kind of is leading this phrase, but she's like kind of. It's all very. It hasn't really materialized into anything, it seems like. But there was this big piece in October that came out that was supposed to be about the reckoning, and it was published in Vanity Fair, who is published by Condé Nast, who's published by Advanced Publishers, which has the same parent company as who makes Housewives. So
hello.
I guess there was a lot left out, and Bethany was very much just like, the article really it really kind of leaned heavily on people's like you know, not being woke or like those kinds of indiscretions, not as much the labor rights or like a collective kind of thing. But I love, okay, so one quote, they have this, look at this anonymous housewife, she says, "Have I been put through the ringer? 100%. Still better than my worst day withering away at a life of quiet desperation."
I cannot with that. That's what's interesting. I think it's sentiments like that that make people like dehumanize reality stars and like famous people in general. They're like, but you're living the life, like life is so good, like you shouldn't complain, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, yeah, but like, can they? Because like, these companies are still profiting off of them so much. Also, when I found out that Real Housewives have to buy their own clothes, do their own makeup, and pay for their own like trips and stuff, do you know anything about that? Like, you kind of assume everything that's being filmed is free, and that's not the case. I would be pissed about that. I'd be like, it feels like this has to be paid for by you, by the network, or else I'm not going to brunch. I'd be like, well, like, you know, I don't know.
I guess, okay, because different, this is what I've learned from listening to Bethany's podcast for like 6 months. Different shows are produced by different production companies. So they're not all like, the production company is underneath like Bravo, but they don't all get produced by the same production companies, which is very interesting and weird to me. I don't know why you would run your business that way, but it must work for some reason. And it depends on like what the setup is with like the franchise, whether they pay or not. Like, I guess on Beverly Hills, they pay for all their own stuff, but on New York, like the trips were paid for. And a lot of times I think they get like comps, like they're going to stay at this amazing location and it's like in exchange for showing the logo 3 times on screen or whatever, you know?
Right. Which is how it should be. And that's, I think, how most shows and like even like influencer trips do it, you know, it's like a little tit for tat, but no, it's so really interesting because
the price tag, the full price tag.
And it's funny, too, because I have just been getting back into Love is Blind. I didn't think I was going to watch it this season, but then I started to see so much content about it. And I was like, and this is also, I couldn't really use my phone, but I could watch TV. I'm like, FOMO. I'm like, all right, let's get into it. And obviously, like, it's such an insane show. Like, it really is. But interestingly, a lot of lawsuits have been coming up about this show in particular. Like, old contestants are...
Past seasons.
Old contestants are either trying to sue the show, or they're like putting together kind of movements, same as Bethany Frankel, to like bring awareness to like the abuse that happens from like these producers and networks to like these reality contestants.
And what are they claiming?
So there's different types of things. There's a recent one. This one is crazy. I'm going to just read this article, but you know, the concept of Love is Blind is you're being essentially set up on these like blind dates. You can't see them. And then the goal is to like get engaged at the end. So there was a contestant. I don't know if I watched the season because I'm not like registering these names, but oh, okay. I'm reading here. So there's like 20 people on Love is Blind, but only like six couples really get like airtime. And so there's people that will fully get engaged on the show and not make it to air, which I think is crazy. Wow. I'd be like, if I'm doing all that, I better be at least like a D-list celebrity. Like, what is this? Anyway, so there was a contestant who got mostly cut out of the season. And during the pod, she developed a relationship with someone and the two became engaged. This contestant was under the impression that all contestants have been thoroughly vetted, but as her lawsuit alleges, she soon learned the person that she was engaged to, quote unquote, was not only broke and jobless, but also homeless, violent, estranged from his parents, and actively addicted to amphetamines and alcohol. The lawsuit alleges that, you know, the person she was engaged to was emotionally abusive, and the producers knew because one camera operator quit after being physically threatened by this person. The suit claims that the producers even warned her to make sure the person she was engaged to, quote unquote, had no access to firearms, that producers even no access to firearms or other weapons because they were concerned he would hurt himself, her, or others.
That's so insane.
Wow. Ugh. And it's just interesting because, I mean, on this season, someone was being asked, why did you go on the show? Like, what was your reason? And they're like, you know, like, I really want to find my person. And, you know, dating apps are hard and dating is hard. Why not just meet like 20 people that are like vetted and like background checked and whatever? And so it's so funny that comment made it to air while they're like actively being sued for that. And then other lawsuits that will happen are kind of like these abusive workplace things. Also, like the producers manipulating them. A lot of shows like Love Island, for example, they don't tell you what time it is ever. They don't tell you what the date is. They keep you up super late. Same with Bachelor. They keep you up really, really late and wake you up really early in hopes that you're going to be like really emotional because you're like sleep deprived and food deprived. And oh my like God. Shows like The Bachelor have also, there's been rumors, I guess, alleged that they would like deprive people of things, being like, okay, if you just say what we want in this interview, we'll like give you like this meal that you really want, or you can go to bed, you can take a nap. So you're like, okay, yeah, hate that girl. Now I want my bar of chocolate, you know, like,
yeah.
So it's so interesting that all these lawsuits are coming out. I think it's really necessary that there's some legalities because it is a workplace, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So Leah McSweeney, who's a newer housewife, New York housewife, no longer, but she was on for two seasons, and she had been sober for like I think over a decade. And then I mean, I didn't follow her story so close, but I think she began drinking a little bit before the show and then fully like, yeah, it was just relapsed on air.
Wow.
And she, and there's so much female alcoholism on The Real Housewives. It's a real education in different ways that it manifests. But she is suing like Andy Cohen, Bravo Media, NBC Whoa. Universal, Warner Brothers,
not Andy,
like, Shed Media, like all, like everyone. And her claim is basically that the working environment is unsafe and pressures alcohol use, and that Andy does coke with his favorite wives and gives them better edits, which is just like,
I mean, that is just obviously very true. Wait, does Andy Cohen own these shows?
No, but he has a really weird job because he originally was like an executive at Bravo, and then he became the like talking head face of Housewives.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He is both talent and their boss.
I had no idea. My impression was that Andy Cohen was like a quirky interviewer or whatever. Like that's
no, he's wow. the real puppeteer. And
that's scary. That's, I mean, that's the worst kind. Like, that's what these producers do to manipulate you, is they try to become your friend and gain your trust that way so that they can, like, do, have you do what they want you to do, you know?
And then another New York housewife, Brandy Glanville, she didn't suing, but she had her, had a lawyer send a letter to NBC Universal alleging that Cohen sent her an inebriated video message, which he expressed his intention to sleep with another Bravo star while he thought of her and invited her to watch via FaceTime.
I'm sorry.
However, this came out right after Carolyn Manzo of Real Housewives of New Jersey filed a lawsuit against Bravo because of Brandy forcibly kissing and touching her while filming an Ultimate Girls Trip season that I don't think ever aired.
Whoa.
And she said she reported it multiple times and they did nothing. I will say, this woman's character, she is, like, not the most reliable narrator. So, but we have, I believe women.
Hashtag believe women. Okay, Andy Cohen, is he?
That woman, Manzo, is suing because the network would, quote, regularly ply the Housewives cast with alcohol, cast them to be severely intoxicated, and then direct, encourage, and or allow them to sexually harass other cast members because that is good for ratings.
Oh my God. I mean, that just seems like a nightmare, like, especially the format of Housewives. It's like, these are their real lives, you know, like, they're in their homes, they're in their day-to-day, you know, obviously there's a level of fabrication and fantasy because it's a TV show, but, like, all these other shows, like The Bachelor, Love is Blind, for the most part, they're going somewhere else and having this TV show, you know? So for this to fully be embedded into their lives and also supplying so much alcohol and drama, and I can't even imagine a way to contain that, you know?
The network, of course, is like, and honestly, not a bad argument, we don't force anyone to drink. So it's like, it's true that you do put this thing up to your lips and you do make the choice. Like, I, of course, when, what is it? Like, not out of, the opposite of out of sight, out of mind. When something's when something is in front of you, like, you're more likely to have it. So it's definitely, like, more likely. But it is true that no one can force you. Like,
right.
You do have free
will. I guess
will.
The lawsuit could just be better, saying, like, that they're being driven to drink and abuse substances because of the environment. I feel like that would have more weight to it, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
Like, someone being like, I was sober for 10 years and being in this environment was so stressful that I relapsed, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
What a lawsuit like that looks like, but that's crazy.
I guess there's always the kind of, like, thing where it's like, you know, you're making a deal with the devil, Andy Cohen, when you go on one of these shows. It's like, no one is stupid. Like, these shows have been on for, reality has existed for like 20 years now at some point. Like, it's not like, you know, like,
yeah,
we get it. Like, some of these big realizations that Bethany's having about, like, this isn't empowering to women, I'm like, what planet are you on, dude? Like, why did you just realize that? Like, oh, but maybe you're so, like, brainwashed. This is your, like, coming out.
Well, what was the sentiment about being empowering to women? You mentioned this to me off the podcast, but can you explain that part again? What she's saying isn't empowering the podcast or the show?
Oh, so Bethany had created her own podcast called Rewives, and she would do rewatch episodes of the Housewives with a guest, and they would, like, do a recap. But she said, like, I think last week, that she's no longer doing that podcast because she is like, it's negative, and basically, like, this isn't content I'd be proud to show my daughter. And she doesn't want to discuss and promote the Housewives more, which is very interesting because, of course, it gets me thinking, like, is this spin, you know, like, was she threatened, like, what's going on behind the scenes?
Interesting. I mean, it makes sense because how can you do a rewatch of a TV show that's playing on people's personal dynamics, insecurities, etc., and not have to kind of talk shit on the podcast, being like, oh, she's really annoying, she was in the wrong because she's drunk, and you know, there's just so much negativity towards women when you're like recapping something like this. So I'm not surprised. I don't know.
I was always like, just, I never wanted to watch reality shows because I was just like, yeah, it's like women fighting and like that looks bad for women. Yeah. Like that was, and I don't know why at some point in the last couple of years I was like, whatever, like give up on that. But I definitely feel like my aversion like came from the perspective that she is like now getting to, and I'm just like, what? Like,
but you know what,
why is I find this just occurring to you?
I think what I find interesting too is that like it's, I've been trying to kind of like understand. So I took like a big break from watching reality TV shows because I kind of felt like I was rotting my brain. One, two, there was just so much like plastic surgery and like beauty standards that are just so high that I was like, this is like creating dysmorphia. Like when I look in the mirror, I need to take a break from this. So I took like a really long time off and then returned back to it. And I think like a big element is like, yes, there's the feminist side of our brain that can see that these things are wrong and like that we don't agree with like a lot of these, even like the lawsuit stuff or like, you know, women fighting with each other. But then there's the also the other aspect of womanhood, which is like women bonding over watching this TV show together. You know, like that's a huge reason why I went back to watch Love is Blind this last season, because I was like, I'm seeing so much content about this. I want to feel included, you know? And so I think that's like a unique part of like reality TV that, you know, whether we think it's feminist or not, most likely not, but it's become such a big part of the female experience is like being able to chit chat about like these little things, and it brings you closer to people. And, you know, if you're at a party,
it's like astrology.
Yeah. And like, if you're at a party with a bunch of girls you don't know, you're like, who's watching The Bachelor? Like, and you can talk about that. It's like, it's almost like we choose that. It's our sports. Exactly. Oh my God. That is the nail on the head. Like it's like we're overlooking these like feminist values we have to put forth another value, which is like community.
That's interesting. I feel like something I get from it a lot is like watching, especially Housewives, like watching someone's life play out over a lot of time gives me like a longer view perspective, I feel. And I feel like it gives me more like, it's also just like watching people go through things. I feel like it gives you a sense of like, okay, if I'm ever faced with that, like at least I have a frame of reference of like what I'll do.
Interesting. You
know? So that makes sense. I remember,
yeah,
I took a writing class. Oh, the sky's really pretty right now. I took a writing class, and one of the like, there was like a quote from some novelist, I'm forgetting, but it was about how like people read novels because they feel like they're getting like a story of survival or something. So you're like reading because you feel like, oh, if I'm ever in this case, like this is what I'm going to read this, and then I'll know like what to do. And I kind of feel like Housewives does that too, where it's like, you're like, oh, if I ever get to this point of like lack of communication with my partner, or like if I ever have a child with a cancer diagnosis, whatever it might be, like all the things that happen in life.
Oh, I thought you meant cancer astrology sign. I'm like, so real.
No.
Yeah, it's funny. They also, so random, they say that about dreams sometimes. I've heard that if you have a dream about like an argument with someone or a traumatic situation or whatever, it's your brain trying to practice for the real event and like work out like what you would do and how to familiarize yourself with it.
I've heard that too, and I had a dream recently where I was just like very much just explaining like how I cut my bangs on my own and how I needed the guy to cut them, like basically practicing for when I go like to get a haircut.
That's
in a couple
so
of weeks.
So funny. And it's
like
funny. Yeah,
I've actually been my mom's been really into like dream analysis and stuff. So I've been reading this book she bought me about like the unconscious and stuff. So it's also like there's so many different theories, like the idea that everyone in your dream is like a different part of you that you're like interacting with. I don't know. I had awesome dreams last night though.
But I just had another thought about what you just said about watching these people kind of grow up a little bit. I also think another huge reason for reality TV is like also it feels really cathartic to watch people make a lot of mistakes, like really big mistakes or be really embarrassing. And like, one, feel good about yourself in that way, but also see them overcome that and like see that their like life isn't over. You're like, oh, yeah. This girl can get really drunk, take her clothes off and jump in the pool. And like, she's getting in front of a confessional and talking about it. Clearly she's fine enough to like do that. So I think there is something really cathartic about watching like very messy personalities, or like on Love is Blind, like they all are having like really like crazy relationship issues, super insecure. They're like picking fights about everything. And
because you're seeing yourself like in bits of people and you're like, oh my God, I am just like that. Let me like, I'm glued to the screen to see how this plays out because that is so me. Like,
yeah. Ooh. Or even like seeing someone like pick an argument and you're like, oh, I would have never done that. Like, that's not the healthy way to do things. And then you're like, oh, what would it actually feel like to just be like really impulsive and speaking my feelings really like strongly and like telling someone off? Like, what would that feel like? You know, like, I don't know. It's just so interesting to see different ways of being, like, I guess.
To watch and to be on reality TV is like, you have to like take it all like with some consideration that it's not, you know, there's always, it's edited for entertainment, you know, it's not going to be like, it's not a documentary. It's not a like true and flattering, boring picture of these people.
Yeah. And also like there was a clip that got posted, I think from one of the Love is Blind contestants, of he was filming them cooking and like showing the room, and then you see a camera in the corner and another camera in the other corner, like with these two cameramen, and it just, so many people were like, wow, I really do forget that there's another person in the room at all times when this is happening. Like, how are you having an argument or doing anything without being so deeply aware of being filmed? And like,
yeah,
I film myself like every single day for work and social media and stuff. And it's like, even I would be like a caricature of myself if there was a cameraman in the room filming these things. I'd be like trying to be buttoned up, and I'd be, I think especially in fights, like everything is being documented. You need to get your point across so hard because you don't want anything taken out of context. So you're like, I'm going to not even listen to this other person. I'm going to go full defense mode and drill in my point. And obviously that does not make for good arguing, you know, like in proper arguing, you should like hear the other person out, let them talk. But I'm like, if you give someone 3 minutes of airtime telling you everything you did wrong, like that does not look good. You're going to want to interrupt. You're going to want to like, be like, actually, you know?
Yeah. I feel like shows now are showing more of the behind the scene, like more purposely. And I think that's kind of a cool trend. And like even having people on screen talking about that they're on, like breaking the fourth wall. And I think it's like, this is a cool evolution, I think, stylistically, because it adds like a new dimension for the watcher where it's like now we're becoming aware of ourselves and them and that, you know what I mean? Like your awareness of the whole thing. You're realizing like that it's like a, you know, 5D chess game and all of that.
Yes.
And it's like, cause I remember when the Kardashians premiered on Hulu, they started showing the producers and stuff like setting up takes. I don't know, whatever. And it's interesting. It's interesting to see them there and just like for them to be acknowledging that they're on a show. It's like kind of like nice.
Yeah.
Just like, let's all be honest about this. Let's not pretend that Kim just woke up or whatever.
Do you remember the Hills finale?
Yes.
How shook
so genius
we all were. For those who don't know, The Hills, you know, was a reality show for many years based in LA. And the final, and there was so much drama with everyone, and like that drama would make headlines and it influenced all the personalities and whatever. The final episode was like, I think it was Lauren Conrad like waving goodbye to like Brody Jenner, driving away in his convertible. And he drives away, and then they like pull the set apart. You see this giant backdrop they're pulling apart. You see all the camera people. They're like, cut. And everyone was, imagine ending a reality show like that. You're like,
so cool.
That they painted to be real. Like for years and years, they're like, this is real life. This is happening. And then for them to be like, LOL, now sit with that. Like, was crazy. I loved it. I mean, it was just like,
I think it,
yeah.
It would be cool if there was more like artistic ideas in reality, because I don't think that on day one of The Hills, they had that concept in mind. You know what I mean?
No, definitely not.
And I think that there is probably a lot of people who are like, this is a stupid concept. We're not ending like this, but it's awesome. And like, we should have more, like, I would love to see, yeah, reality like made, I don't know. It just feels like, yeah, if creative people were allowed to take risks, like it could be really interesting.
Yeah.
And it could be humane enough.
For sure. It's been interesting too. Like, I also think some contestants have been kind of taking this in their own hands, like, or maybe even the producers for kind of like allowing these edits. But a lot of people have been saying this season of The Bachelor is really different to previous ones because they're actually kind of breaking these patterns of The Bachelor, and they're also having the highest watch like numbers in so long. Like, there's this one girl, Maria, who is just like this it girl. She's fabulous, like also troublemaker. Like, she, all of our episode about it girls, like she fits pretty much that entire kind of definition. So naturally all the girls on the show hate her. So she was getting in arguments with some of the girls on the show, and they're going back and forth on whether someone said something or not. And she looks at them. She's like, you know, everything is being filmed, right? Kind of like as like a threat, being like, you can't lie about something you said. And like, there's also a lot of, you know, The Bachelor was very famous for these girls being like in love with The Bachelor, you know, after a couple weeks and whatever. And this is the first season where they're like, I don't actually know if I know you that well. And it's kind of shaking things up a little bit and making things so much more real. And I think the audience is really responding to that, because then we actually feel invested if we're kind of breaking that cycle of,
yeah. Sorry. So, hello, everyone. My computer decided to completely restart itself. So, we're just gonna kind of wrap things up. And yeah, did you have any final thoughts, Nicola?
I would really love to see more about the reality reckoning, but I think if Bethany Frankel is putting down the torch, I don't think anyone's gonna pick it up, you know, and it seems like she's kind of moving on. So yeah, the idea or like evolution of reality show workplace, but also like the art form of reality shows, like let's play with it, people. Let's like, I feel like we need like, I feel like MTV like in the 80s and 90s and always did like such experimental like video work for being like a mainstream like cable TV channel, and we need some like experimental, weird, exciting mass. I don't know what it is. It's not my job.
Yeah, there's some crazy like niche reality shows going on right now. There's like, have you heard of that Naked British show?
No.
It is crazy. I think it's called, I could be completely butchering this, like Naked Attraction or something. where they are showing people are dating. So there's like one contestant and there's like five people that they're dating. They are judging people by their body. So first, like, there's people behind this like wall, right? Oh my God, I can't believe I'm explaining this to you right now. This is so funny. There's people behind this like wall. And so then it like the wall comes up until like about their like calves. And they judge people by like their feet and like they can talk and answer questions and stuff. And then it goes up to like above the waist. And these people are fully nude and think everything is being shown on TV. And they're like judging people by their genitalia and like naked bodies being like, oh, I like that. I don't like that. Like blah, blah, blah. Just they're talking to these people. And then it goes up to like the chest anyway. And it does that. I think you don't see the full face until like the end. And then those contestants apparently go on a naked date together or something. It's just like crazy.
Remember when they told us that if we had had tattoos, we couldn't get a job. And if we posted a picture drinking on Facebook, we'd never get a job. And now it's like that person's going to go back to their like boring British office. And it's like, yeah, like, I was all naked. It was just naked all.
It's mind blowing. Like it is crazy. And but apparently a lot of contestants say it was like really good for their like self-esteem and like comfort and like I don't even know, who knows. So yeah, there's like experimental stuff going on. I don't know, experimental
that's
in
like
what
some
way?
Humiliation fetish like yeah. kind of yes. stuff. Like that's like a whole
absolutely.
Other, but that's like experimental in like concept, but I mean like in form. Like I want to see like different like cuts and like I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it, but I just like anyway. All right. We will be back next week
yes.
and back on schedule. And yeah, guests are coming. Thank you for listening to our pod. Please follow us and tell your friends about it.
Check out Naked Attraction, if that's what it's Naked even Attraction. Called. Check out Love is Blind. Check out Bethany Frankel podcast. comment, rate, reply. We love you guys. Thanks for hanging in there.
All right. Bye.